This week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Thank you once again for tuning in for an hour of prophetic facts. The website that carries what I'm about to share and much, much more is, of course, www.remnantofgod.org. I pray what I am about to share with you will become a blessing to both you and your loved ones. I also pray that you'll be able to share it with as many as is possible. In today's broadcast, I have a few articles I'd like to share, starting right off. Headline, Israel Issues Stamp in Memory of John Paul II. This is from Tel Aviv. Zenit.org is reporting it. Out of Israel, May 24, 2005. It says, the State of Israel has dedicated a stamp commemorating Pope John Paul II on the occasion of what would have been his 85th birthday, May 18th. The Israeli Embassy to the Holy See announced it officially, noting that the philatelic issue reproduces the historical image of John Paul II at Jerusalem's Western Wall, according to the Sunday edition of Le Osservatore Romano. According to the Vatican semi-official newspaper, Israel's environment entity will promote the establishment of a meeting park for the Pope of young people in Galilee, a place linked to Christianity and loved by John Paul II, where an amphitheater will also be erected. The initiative aims to develop in young people belonging to different monotheistic religions the culture of a dialogue to build a future of peace. You know, do we need any additional evidence that all the world will wander after the beast? Now think about this. The Jewish nation is globally known and historically known, mind you, for being openly non-Christian. They graphically declare Christ to be just a simple prophet, not a man of God. And how can they call him a prophet when they deny what he said? But still, that's what they do. The Muslims do the same thing. But we now see the Jewish nation, or religion, if you will, commemorating what the world refers to as a Christian leader. Now, I understand that it is well known within true Christian circles that the Pope is no Christian, but the rest of the world thinks he is. Prophecy said that all the world will wonder after this organization known as the Beast, and now we see that every base has been covered. We know the Muslims embrace the Pope thanks to their connection between them and Mary, the Roman Catholic version of the pagan Queen of Heaven that the prophet Jeremiah bluntly spoke of in chapter 7 of his book. And we've also read the articles. I've shared some online. I've shared some on the radio where the Muslims sometimes are more in number in attendance at Vatican masses than actual Catholics are. We know the Protestants embrace the Pope since all of them have proclaimed him a holy man over the years, especially after their friend John Paul II expired, even though their forefathers proclaimed him Antichrist. We know the Buddhists, the Zoroastrians, and even the communist atheist. Even if he's not a communist, even the atheists embrace the Pope as a holy man as well now, thanks to all their highly publicized remarks, which, by the way, are nothing more than a global PR campaign by the Vatican. You get enough people saying it in the global arena, people are going to believe it. So, is it any wonder the State of Israel, a well-known anti-Christian state, country, if you will, is it any wonder such a country as this would embrace the man of sin now? Especially now, in these last days? Well, no, not at all. It's just merely a sign of the times, people. If this fact alone doesn't convince the scoffers that Christian prophecy is bluntly accurate, nothing's gonna. I mean, it's just too graphically blunt, to put it in plain, simple to understand English. All right, this next article says, or the headline reads, Pope backs abstentions in vote on embryo research. in an address to Italian Bishops' Conference. This is out of Vatican City. Again, Zenit Organization is reporting on May 30th, 2005. Benedict XVI, or shall I say Ratzinger, supported the position of the Church in Italy, which is calling for voters to abstain from upcoming referendums on human embryo research. The Pope backed the abstention, giving that the research proposals would lead to discarding of human embryos. A human being, he insisted, can never be reduced to a means. The unholy father, because there's no way he's the holy father that Jesus calls his father in heaven in John chapter 17. So the unholy father, the Pope, addressed the issue openly for the first time today when he met with the participants of the General Assembly of the Italian Bishops' Conference in a synod hall at the Vatican. Cardinal Camillo Rooney, president of the Episcopal Conference, explained that abstention in these referendums to be held June 12th to the 13th means a double no. Okay. This article goes on from there, but I see no reason to read further. I mean, how many of us recall the Vatican-approved stem cell research, which, by the way, is done on human embryos, being allowed in the Jesuit-run Georgetown University? It has become such an annoyance to some Catholics that do want to do the right thing that the four Massachusetts bishops tried to publicly make an announcement back in the early March of this year, mind you, regarding the Vatican allowing Georgetown University to continue using aborted babies in research. And yes, the university made a rather blunt statement saying, in so many words, that they see no wrong in continuing as they had no idea where the stem cells came from. And strangely enough, that seemed to be dropped without incident. Fact is, anyone that has ever done any kind of research on any type of cells absolutely require every scrap of information as to the whereabouts of the specimen they're working with, as it plays a vital role in determining their findings. You can't do stem cell research on a cell unless you have absolute understanding as to its origin. Otherwise, the experiment is a waste of time and it won't be held up in any kind of scientific magazines. So yes, the Vatican is once again lying here. Georgetown University lied, and the American people seem to be 100% blind to all of it. Signs of the times. Oh, and by the way, some of the points addressed in the article I just shared where the Vatican wanted to address certain stipulations in embryonic research, they are not planning on stopping the using of human children in laboratory experiments. Oh no. They just want to be in better control of it. How will they be able to create better sorceries without knowing how best to manipulate the human being down to the cell level? By the way, the pagan sorceries of pharmakia, or pharmacy as we know it today, is a necessity in today's world. Especially now that the word is out about the shrubbery grown in your own backyard and its ability to cure you from everything from cancer to AIDS. You see, the drug industry cannot cure anyone. They can, however, mask the symptoms, which a lot of people jump on because it's a lot better to be in pain, I guess, rather than healing it. That's what makes you feel cured. But as soon as you stop taking their drugs, your symptoms not only return, they have a tendency to be escalated because they haven't been dealt with. That in itself proves they never cure anyone. How many of us know about the people that have taken a few pills for blood pressure and then have stopped, totally healed? None, right? Once you start on that medication, you're on it till you're dead, or until Christ arrives. So how about diabetes or heart disease or even arthritis? All of them, along with a host of other diseases, must take medications for the rest of their natural lives to feel healthy till they die. Is that being healed? No, not at all. That's being conned into buying hundreds of dollars of meds each month for the rest of your life. If they heal you, they're out of business. The drug companies must keep you ill so you keep sending them money. You know, they're nothing more than legalized dealers. This is why they ridicule the naturopaths or chiropractors or people that are into homeopathy or whatever. or holistic, well, I don't know about holistic, I never really investigated, but they know for a fact they actually heal people. In fact, not too many years ago, I read about, and I got some CDs from some friends in Australia that sent me these audios and videos and whatnot, about a doctor. There's a lot more than just one doing this, by the way. Anyway, this one doctor by the name of Huxley uses natural methods to heal people of cancer or AIDS or whatever. He was sued by the AMA, or the American Medical Association, and actually taken to court. Problem is, twice a jury found the natural doctor was actually healing people of diseases the AMA was completely unable to heal. He has since decided to move his practice to Mexico so as to avoid all the constant harassments of the AMA. The government's not stopping them either. This is why they moved to Mexico and other countries, because the government's in on this. Why? Because Rome's in on this. The AMA's tactics are no different than Rome's tactics. Like Rome yelling cult when speaking about true Christians, the AMA yells quack. If you can get everyone to believe the AMA the AMA is best, and those that actually use God's method to heal become useless, then you've done your job. The sad thing is, literally millions die annually of diseases the Lord has already taught his people how to heal. You know, can you tell this is a sore spot with me? Of course it is. I know many people, some of them I love dearly, that have been and are still trapped, paying almost $1,000 a month for drugs that never heal them. This is, of course, without mentioning the amount of people killed by the medical mistakes in hospitals each year. I read a statistic not too long ago, and I apologize for not being able to find the actual quote, but it went something like this. There are more people dying in hospitals every year from mistakes and drug overdoses by the doctors than in all the car accidents, plane accidents, and suicides combined in this country. The people are literally guinea pigs today, and still they flock to these hospitals with all the faith in the world. And then they have the nerve to call these men miracle workers? UCLA's Robert Brook once was quoted as saying, "Yeah, it's really a joke to worry about the occasional plane that goes down when we have thousands of people who are killed in hospitals every year." The simplicity of that statement is scary, isn't it? Think about that for a moment. If you had as many people that die in a hospital every year dying on airplanes, the government would ground all the airlines permanently and make people use cruise ships and trains, or just cars. Why aren't they doing anything about all those dying in the hospitals, even after it has become the number one killer in the world? Literally millions upon millions. And the insurance these doctors have to pay, the annual premiums are sometimes four and five times higher than many people in the middle class make as an annual income. So why does the government allow so many millions upon millions of people to die at the hands of these inept men called doctors? M-O-N-E-Y. There are literally hundreds of billions of dollars being made in the drug industry on an annual basis, thanks to the hospitals that use the drugs and the doctors who prescribe the drugs. If they were to shut down those hospitals to try and figure out what's best for the people, it would put the drug companies out of business, and that would stop billions from flowing into the pockets of the greedy politicians. Do you need to be a brain surgeon to figure that one out? In fact, you don't even need to have a brain on this one. It's an ultimate no-brainer. I really get sidetracked at that article. Perhaps I'll stay a little closer on the next topic, with this next one. This next article is from EWTN, which is, in fact, pushing idol worship again. EWTN is Eternal Word Television Network. It's a Roman Catholic television network. This article is yet another method of Roman Catholic Church, their method to ensure global uniformity, even across religious boundaries. As far back as I can remember, they have pushed Mary upon all denominations as well as non-Christian faiths globally. But never has it been such an obvious confirmation for a joining of evil forces than when we see how Rome has infatuated the nation of Islam with their pagan goddess. They have renamed Mary the Mother of God. What I'm about to share has been posted on the Eternal World Television Network's website, EWTN, a Catholic Global Network, posts answers online to questions put forth by their congregation as well as those outside the Roman clutches. The following appeared on April 29, 2005. The topic in question was headlined as May Altar Honoring Mary. This is a quote or a question from a woman by the name of Kelly Haymans on April 29, 2005. She says, I have heard of a May altar, but don't know any specifics about it. Could you give me some insight into the tradition? Thanks, Kelly Haymans. And this is from some priest by the name of Bob Levi's. He goes, Dear Kelly, for centuries, pious Catholics have erected little home shrines in their homes before which they recite prayers to Mary, most especially the Rosary. It is a most laudatory, or that means praise, practice. It puts prayer back into the home. Many a little child is introduced to the Mother of God at home before one of these little shrines. Many a little boy would play priest and pretend to offer Mass at these homey little pious shrines. Obviously, they should be encouraged even today. Now, the Word of God specifically commands in both doctrine as well as commandments themselves that bowing before statues is sin. You do not have to be a theologian to figure that one out. That is a basic Christianity 101 theological statement, okay? That's not, I mean, little kids learning about their faith know what the definition of sin is. In this regard, it's an easy one to understand. Many a Catholic prelate, when confronted, will explain they do not offer prayers to Mary, but when they are asked the same question by their faithful followers, they always seem to flip-flop their response and say it's okay to pray to Mary. By the way, this is the very same priest that answered this question back in January of 2002. I put it on the EWTN, Evils of EWTN page on my website. It has to do with James and Protestants. It was a question by a young guy by the name of Sean Madden on January 23rd, 2002. He said, your statement, and he's talking to the priest, he goes, your statement, where he quotes it, he goes, besides, many Protestants don't accept James at all as inspired scripture precisely because of your cited verse requiring works. Is just flat out wrong, and I'm curious as to what you base it on. The Protestants I hang out with hold James as highly as any other book in scripture. As do I, by the way. I mean, I have yet to meet a Protestant on the planet that says the book of James shouldn't have been in the Bible. So what does this priest that gave this young girl an obvious okay to go ahead and bow down before statues, what does he say to Sean? Well, he goes, Sean, all or most of the Bibles printed for Protestant usage omit the Epistle of James from their New Testament list. Okay, did you hear that? He goes, all or most Bibles printed for Protestants don't have the book of James in it. And he goes on to say, this is because it's following the decision of Martin Luther, who claimed this epistle was merely one of straw. However, many of these Bibles list this epistle separately as an apocryphal book or work. Okay? Now, keep in mind, before I share with you the next response by a possible non-Catholic, that this priest openly stated in the previous post that all or most Protestant Bibles do not have the epistle of James in them. Okay? This is from another person by the name of Megan. She says, Father, in almost 40 years of regular study, scripture study, using the Catholic and Protestant translated Bibles, of which I have a copy of most English translations, and in any and all commentary or teaching I have heard or read, the book of James, which follows the book of Hebrews in all Bibles, is considered inspired by all. The only questions I have read concerning it stem from comments by Martin Luther, but never repeated by any others that I have heard read in almost 40 years. I do not believe you will find a Protestant believer, minister, or lay person who has or who would say that James is not part of the canon of Scripture. Please document for us anything that definitely says otherwise. This is what that priest responded with. Okay? He goes, Dear Megan, all Bibles in my library are Catholic, and so unfortunately I can't tell you what other Protestant Bibles say. If you, as a Protestant, find the Epistle of St. James in your Protestant Bibles, congratulations. I am very happy that James is included. Historically, this epistle was not so easily included in the New Testament canon. God bless you, whatever, Bob Levi's, okay? First of all, this priest states that all or most of the Bibles printed for the Protestant usage omit the Epistle of James from their New Testament. And after he is asked to prove his comments, he then admits he has no Protestant Bibles in his library. But I thought he said all or most Protestant Bibles omit the book of James. A comment like that denotes a person who has verified or at least looked into Protestant Bibles to make such a claim as that. And when caught red-handed, he flip-flops his comments to get out of trouble. And then, of course, they drop this, you know, the thread, if you will, on the EWTN site. They stopped any further commentation on it. Of course, obviously, why? Have you ever heard anything so ridiculous in all your life? Seriously, I've been a Protestant for a little over 20 years now, and not once have I ever heard a single solitary person declare unto me such silliness as this. And to think this is a Roman Catholic priest that is called to teach and lead Catholics to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, this is his little, I'll read to you what they say is his SIG file, if you will, his little bio. It's a small little bio that they put on the EWTN site to give people the, you know, the reassurance in their hearts that when they're talking to this priest, he's one that's worthy of answering their questions. They say, Robert Levi's is the founding director of the Graduate Catechetical Institute of the Pontifical Institute at Gainan University. He has produced several resources to teach the faith to young people, including the interactive software called Catalog of Faith and Restless Teens and Faith. The latest book for youth by this priest, which is called Jesus, the Catechism, and Me, is available through EWTN's religious catalog. So, this obviously uneducated priest is being used by the Vatican to teach their youth. Pray for the youth that read his literal satanic verses, people. Pray they open a real Bible before long and find out the Vatican is truly the home of Antichrist. I mean, all they got to do is just go into their Bible. I mean, with the statements he just made about the book of James. Pray that these young people, you know, have wisdom. Just common sense, better yet. I mean, you know, right off, because then later on they'll, of course, be blessed with divine wisdom if they go into the scriptures. But right off, they need common sense. I mean, for statements, some of the statements he made, I mean, just common sense would have handled it. Okay, this next article, I hope I can get through it before the end of the first half of the broadcast here. The headline reads, Inmates, Religious Rights Law Upheld. This is from Washington, D.C., May 31st, 2005. The U.S. Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of a federal law requiring state prisons to accommodate inmate religions, including witchcraft and Satanism. Justices today sided 9-0 with Ohio inmates who had claimed they were denied access to religious literature, ceremonial items, and time to worship. Justice Ruth Bader of Ginsburg said the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act is not an unconstitutional government promotion of religion. They always say that. Isn't that something? But anyway, the 2000 law requires states that receive federal money to accommodate prisoners' religious beliefs unless wardens can show that the accommodation would be disruptive. Foes of this statute have argued that inmate requests for special diets or religious symbols could make management of prisons more difficult. Now, why do I feel it's necessary to share with you this article? In order to enforce the mark of the beast, you must first enact religious laws inside prison walls so as to truly have that global reach prophecy says the beast will have. The prophecy does say that the beast causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, in Revelation 13, verse 16. Without this religious law enforced in prisons, the mark of the beast would not be able to be enforced in a truly universal or Catholic manner. Of course, prisoners won't have a need for a national ID card until release, so while incarcerated, this, of course, would be the next best thing. Isn't it amazing to see prophecy fulfilled in every nook and cranny of society? And isn't it nice to be able to understand such things so as to be ready for it? again, there is no way that we can protest or revolt against the powers that be to try and stop this from coming to fruition. This is something that's going to happen because the God of all creation prophesied it as such. All we as Christians can do is get our paths straight. Our Lord is returning, and He will not be taking anyone with Him that do not make straight the paths they dwell upon. We're out of time for this portion of the broadcast, so I'm asking that you please stay tuned to the Truth Provided broadcast. We'll be back in probably 3, perhaps 4 minutes. Please stay tuned.